denied the VA benefits you're entitled to. Call Tabak for the payback. TabakAttorneys.com.
Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly is on the air as we come to you one day removed from not the prettiest outing for the Bucks. Same old against the Miami Heat. We kind of joked during the end of it and after the game last night on Bucks Talk. It did feel like deja vu all over again in many ways, that there was a lot of components to that game that reminded you of that first round series where it was a Miami Heat team that entered play, just looking at games played since January 1st, with one of the worst and least efficient offenses in the entire NBA. And if that sounds familiar, it's because that's almost the exact same scenario we saw unfold in that first round series a season ago. The Heat caught fire, and before you knew it, five games it took them to eliminate the Milwaukee Bucks, a Heat team that showed no signs of that throughout the course of the regular season. But then there it was in that playoff series. And just as I kind of mentioned there, it was a Heat team that in the month of January and the first half of the month of February have been in the bottom five in virtually every single offensive category. You add to that the fact that in their game on Sunday at home against the Boston Celtics, they lose Josh Richardson and they lose Terry Rozier to injuries that appeared to be very, very serious, potentially season-ending injuries. And just before that game, Jimmy Butler announced he was taking a leave of absence for personal issues. And then that's the team that comes into Milwaukee and you see a result you did not expect. We kind of cautioned to be on guard against a Miami Heat team that seems to get the best out of those types of players, but I did not envision the Heat sinking 19 threes and that all of those coming from four players who shot a combined 62% on those three-point attempts. The Bucks offense, look, we've talked about this before when we mentioned the growth that we're seeing from the defense. That is true. A few people have pointed out, well, why aren't you talking about the offense? The offense has been in the middle of the pack since this coaching change. Defense has been very good. The offense has not. And I had added the caveat of, look, six of these games now, for all intents and purposes, of these 12 games that you have played since the coaching change was made, six of them have been without Chris Middleton. Five full games, one game where Chris Middleton played 7 or 8 minutes. Three of those games were without Brooke Lopez. Two were without Damian Lillard. One of those games was without all three of those players. So it is fair to say, look, there's a part of it that you can speak to with the players that were off the floor. But last night was the tough pill to swallow. That last night, even Doc Rivers said after the game, you know, you can look at the number that we gave up. You can look at the 123 points, the 19 made threes, and sure, there were some open looks. But this loss was on our offense. I didn't feel like our offense put us in a good spot. You know, they turned the ball over 14 times, and we only scored 14 points off of those. We turned it over 18 times, and they scored 35 points. They were much more efficient there. Every time we would cut into the lead, the Heat would hit a three, or we would turn the ball over. And part of that just came down to pick and rolls, how the Bucks did not defend that and how the Heat blew up all of the Bucks. So that is the kind of back to the drawing board. I don't take too much away from this offense until this team gets to full strength. And who knows when that's going to be. You have one more game tomorrow to wrap up the first half slate. That is in Memphis against the Grizzlies. And we've kind of pointed to throughout this year, the hope is that's where you start to find your footing. It was the final game before the All-Star break, the year that the Bucks won the championship, that it felt like, okay, they've started to figure some things out. That game, ironically enough, was against the Memphis Grizzlies. After the break, the Bucks would win 7 games in a row for an 8-game win streak. If they can win 7 straight coming out of the All-Star break this time, that will truly be an accomplishment. We'll explain why, as again, it's a very, very challenging schedule that the Bucks have in front of them. We do know tomorrow, that final game in the first half of the season, once again, you won't have Chris Middleton. As the Memphis Grizzlies are playing now, just tipping off against the Houston Rockets. The Bucks have departed. They are in Memphis as we speak. Giannis and Damian Lillard are both listed as probable once again. They have been for the last two games, and they've played in the last two games. Chris Middleton is listed as out. So we do know it's going to be at least through the All-Star break before Chris Middleton makes his return to the floor. I mentioned that schedule and just how challenging it is for the Bucks in the second half. We will get to that. I do want to point out some of the positives and some of what we've seen defensively, the areas the Bucks have cleaned up the most. And again, we recognize the offense has to get there too. I think a lot of that has to do with being healthy and having those players on the floor. But we'll get to those numbers as well. But coming up after the break, we go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. And this week, speaking of some of the changes to that roster, one of the newest additions, Patrick Beverley. Well, the man that acquired Patrick Beverley, general manager John Horst, he sits down with Gail Klappa after this on BucksWeekly.com.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
Our thanks to Gail Klappa for his conversation this week with Bucks general manager John Horst. If you missed any of that interview, you can find it on the Bucks Weekly podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, in addition to this entire show. So all of the interviews that Gail has done throughout the course of this season, you can find them there. We mentioned some of the numbers, and this kind of came up too in the conversation and some of the things that Doc Rivers has done and layered in for this defense since his arrival. So going back to January 24th, that was the first game the Bucks played without Adrian Griffin as their head coach. What stands out the most is the Bucks defense, and there are a number of areas where it's really been illuminated. And we've talked about this quite a bit on Bucks Talk, on this show, everywhere else, wherever you've heard me talk. We've gone through these numbers, but I keep bringing it up because it's worth mentioning the type of turnaround we have seen from this Bucks team. At the time of the coaching change, they had the 22nd rated defense in the league. And look, coming into this season, we knew the defense would take a step backward, or at least you should have known that, with the absence of Drew Holiday. And, you know, another one that does not get a whole lot of mention, but should be as well, is the loss of Wesley Matthews. When you think about the pairing the Bucks had out on the perimeter with those two, you knew your offense was going to take a bit of a hit, but your defense, it's the switchability, the way that both of those guys could defend up and their physicality. I don't think we took into account the absence of Wesley Matthews. And I know he has not done much in terms of his playing time and any of the raw numbers in Atlanta this year. It worked with the Bucks, and it worked alongside Drew Holiday. So you knew the defense would take a bit of a step backward. I had said before the season started, my hope and my expectation was that this team would finish somewhere just slightly better than league average, whether that was 13th, 12th, somewhere in that range. If you could be in the top 10, outstanding. But 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there is where I envision this defense living. And the thought was your offense is going to be a top three offense. So that should be more than enough to offset that. 22nd is not going to cut it. Even if you have the best offense in the league by a wide margin, 22nd is not going to be good enough. In the games they have played since the coaching change, now 12 games, and again, more than a 10-game sample to pull from here. It's not a ton, but it's at least a sample size you feel comfortable referencing. In these 12 games, the Bucks have a 112.7 defensive rating. That is tied with the Orlando Magic for sixth best in the NBA. And I point all of this out because the teams that are in the top 10 from January 24th on, they're the usual suspects. The Minnesota Timberwolves are the number one defense in the league. They have been for the duration of this season. The Cavaliers are number two. They have also been near the top for this entire season. The Pelicans are fourth. The Rockets are fifth. As we mentioned, the Magic sixth, and then you have the Bucks in front of the Heat, the Thunder, and the Boston Celtics. The Bucks defense has been better than the Celtics defense by nearly 1 point per 100 possessions. Offense has been the issue, and again, we mentioned it's going to take time to get those guys back for the offense to fall into place, but you like what you're seeing defensively. And oh, by the way, the Golden State Warriors have the third best defense. Kind of a similar story. They didn't make a coaching change, but it does seem as though that suspension to Draymond Green, as he was quick to point out, galvanized the team, brought them together. Jonathan Kuminga has been unleashed as well. So the Warriors and the Bucks, the two teams that are trending upward the most in those, two, 3 weeks now, defensively for the Bucks. Offense is where you need the improvements. But again, that's probably a post-All-Star break type of deal once this team gets to full strength. We'll preview that matchup, your final game in the first half in Memphis tomorrow against the Grizzlies. Also, get you caught up on quite a few meaningful scores around the NBA as we wrap up the show. After this, it's Bucks Weekly. Games being played tonight, so you got 26 teams in action, four teams that are off. The Bucks obviously are one of those teams. This is one of those interesting, rare nights where essentially every team around the Bucks is playing except for the Bucks. Now, you're not going to get any help from the Boston Celtics. It is going to be a Herculean task to catch Boston for anybody at this point. When you look at the standings in the East, Celtics are 30 games above 500 at 42-12. So they're 5 up in the loss column on the Cavaliers. They're already 8 up in the loss column on the Bucks. And the Celtics are playing right now. It is night 2 of a back-to-back for the Celtics against the same team. And they're up 41 points midway through the third quarter, 87-46. They lead the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn, a bit of an interesting team as they appear to be waving the white flag with some of their moves at the trade deadline. And right now, they're that first team on the outside in the play-in tournament. The Toronto Raptors basically did the same thing. The Nets are 2 games out in the loss column. The Raptors are 5. So it really seems like with roughly 30 games left and less than that for a number of these teams, the 10 teams that would currently be in the postseason, that's the group you're going to get. And it's just seeding to be determined. So you're not going to get any help from the Celtics tonight, who again, up 41 on the Brooklyn Nets in their matchup midway through the third quarter. But the other interesting games to keep an eye on and to take note here that I know Bucks fans are paying quite a bit of attention to. The Orlando Magic are up 16 on the New York Knicks. And I keep pointing out the Knicks and their scores because of the importance of finishing in the top three. So if that score holds, the Bucks will be 2 games up in the loss column on the Knicks, who would currently be 4th place in the Eastern Conference. Now, if you would have won last night, it would be 3 games. But that is huge. Also, the Philadelphia 76ers are hosting the Miami Heat. Night 2 of a back-to-back from Miami. It is early in the fourth quarter. That score is tied. So if the Knicks lose and the Sixers win, Philadelphia jumps into the fourth spot and the Knicks drop down to 5. And that's part of why we said it is very important. It's of the utmost importance to finish in the top 3. I'm not even concerned with catching the Cavaliers, who, by the way, are losing to the Bulls right now, 53-49 midway through the third quarter there. But we saw the Bucks win a championship as a 3 seed. To me, the home court advantage can get overblown at times. The big part is avoid the 4 seed. You have to do that at all costs because of the path that would potentially create for you. If you get to that 4 seed, the chances are very high you're going to have the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round. We don't know officially, but I would assume Joel Embiid will either be returning for the playoffs or will have just returned. If you get through that, you got the 1 seed Boston Celtics waiting for you. If you get through that, then you have whoever wins the other side of the bracket. If that's the Cavs, if that's the Knicks, who knows? And then you get through that, you're in the NBA Finals. So that would be an incredibly challenging schedule. The main thing for the Bucks is don't let either of those teams behind you right now, the Sixers or the Knicks, catch you. You got to at least hold on to the 3 seed. First half schedule comes to an end tomorrow night. Bucks in Memphis taking on the Grizzlies. That is a 7 o'clock tip-off. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.